The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen Sheehan has popped in from off the ball towers to look ahead to the weekend sporting action. But Owen, I guess we have to talk a little bit about the weather. It's all anybody is talking about. But there's kind of a sporting context to this as well because of what happened in Connacht.
Yeah, obviously the storm battering the west coast of Ireland in the middle of the night, and at 4 o'clock the Connacht Air Dome blew to pieces. So this is a Connacht GAA facility that people may be familiar with. It's actually one of the finest innovations in Irish sport over the last few years, where, as we now nakedly realise, that these winters can batter this country, but sport has been able to proceed as a result of the Air Dome January after January in the last few years, and Connacht have rightly been very proud of this. But of course, yesterday was something unprecedented since the construction of the Air Dome, and it has been destroyed. It cost Connacht GAA €3.1 million to rebuild. Connacht GAA's John Prenti has said that they will rebuild it, and the insurance costs will be covered, but it's just a real blow to them, because you'd imagine the next time they want to get insurance it might be a steeper thing. And also, Kieran, this is obviously something that's been spoken about around the country, that every province, every county should have their own air dome, so you'd wonder what that'll do to driving up the costs and the hopes of them in the future.
I assume it's the type of venue as well that gets used all the time. There'll be stuff that won't go ahead now, will there?
Correct. Yeah, even tomorrow I think there was a frisbee competition that was due to take place in the Air Dome. So it's used by a whole range of different organisations. The Sigerson and collegiate competitions were due to be there in the next little while as well. So yeah, between that and then training as well on top of that for underage county teams and even club teams in the past have used it. It's going to be a massive blow and a massive setback to sort of schedules over the coming weeks. The one thing I would say is that obviously this is a big facility, and I'm sure when it came to land and building the car park and all that sort of thing, there was more than just the actual structure that's been destroyed in that €3.1 million. So hopefully it's not as expensive as perhaps we think. Like, obviously it was inflated once, and they did everything they could to try and limit the damage last night, but unfortunately it still suffered severely from it. Should also mention as well that there was big damage to Longford Town FC's Bishopsgate Stadium. There's pictures online of that taking a bit of a battering as well, so there's a reconstruction job required there too.
All right. Well, listen, we wish them well with all of that work that's ahead of them, big body of work that's ahead of them in Longford and in Connacht and elsewhere. But Gaelic games-wise, despite the bad weather, all those National League games, hurling and football, they're all going ahead as planned, are they?
As planned, yeah. There's been no real sign that any of the other venues are going to suffer in the same way, certainly from a Gaelic Games perspective. So, yeah, it's full steam ahead for the weekend. Obviously, Croke Park tomorrow evening is probably going to be the game that a lot of people will be keeping their eyes on. It's Dublin against Mayo in the Allianz Football League Division 1. It's on television. So, while it's after Galway versus Armagh, these are the first two games in the top tier of intercounty football where we will see the new rules, Kieran, and that's getting people very, very excited about what we're going to see. Hopefully the weather doesn't cause too much havoc when it comes to the games being played themselves, because what we're hoping for is a more attacking, more chaotic version of football. In the eye of a storm, we'd suspect that even with these new rules we won't get that. So fingers crossed that what we see in Salt Hill tomorrow between Galway and Armagh, between Dublin and Mayo after that, and Croke Park is a pretty good spectacle.
Yeah, so I guess there's a degree of venturing into the unknown here. And I know our own club played a club match kind of last weekend that people came along to from other clubs to watch to try and get their head around how it's all going to work. And I did hear kind of one Kilkenny representative at the launch of the National League suggesting we didn't really know the old rules in this part of the world when it came to football, so the new rules don't matter. But is the kind of the question mark, it seems to be kind of primarily about how it's going to be refereed, or how referees are going to be able to adjust to keeping an eye on, you know, three men not crossing the line or whatever it happens to be. Is that seems to be the issue. Is that fair?
That's certainly an issue that a lot of people have raised, but like the punishment for that is so severe, Kieran, that you'd imagine that'll be stamped out pretty quickly, because it's the ball gets brought up 50 metres basically, and it's a very scorable free. The 21 metre line tap over basically if you end up crossing over the line. So it's so punitive that you'd imagine that that'll be eradicated even by self-policing after a period of time. I do think though that there have been some reports from challenge matches. There was a Galway match in Newbridge recently where it was actually picked up on three separate occasions by the officials of players crossing over the line. So the players themselves are still trying to get used to it, but as I say, the punishment is fairly severe for it. The one interesting thing when it comes to policing the rules Wales is this idea of trying to stamp out dissent. And players are going to have to hand the ball back to their opponent when they commit a foul. Otherwise, a similarly punishing reward to the opposition is going to be awarded. So that's the thing that's causing a lot of concern for players and even coaches at the moment. How practicable is that actually in reality? Now, we'll have to see how this plays out over the next few weeks, but it's very, very difficult to hand the ball back to an opponent player and then get your defence into position. It's not just about being cynical. It's about, I guess, the practicality of trying to not let the opposition have too many advantages.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually was watching the rugby last weekend with this in mind, and why it sprung to mind was Jemison Gibson-Park. There was a penalty, maybe it was at a scrum, so he had the ball in hand, but it was a penalty. Who did Leinster play last weekend? I can't remember.
Bath.
And he handed back the ball in such a way that he couldn't get in trouble, but he gave time. So he was kind of jogging backwards as he handed it back, if that made sense.
Yeah.
You know, it was a kind of, he didn't go to them. He certainly made the ball. He presented it. Here, it's yours. But I'm making my way back towards my defensive line. And I guess you'll see a bit of that happening.
Yeah, and also, I think that if a ball breaks, not every single situation is where the ball is in your hands when you make a foul. If a ball naturally falls away, say rolls 10 metres away from the challenge that is deemed to be a foul, I don't think it's the responsibility of the tackler to go and run after the ball and then hand it back to the person.
It's just so, if it's in the person's hand.
Exactly. So I think maybe we're overstating just a problem.
How often in Gaelic football, as opposed to rugby, how often do you give away a free when you have the ball in your hand?
Exactly. So I think it's if you unlawfully take the ball, rip the ball out of somebody's hands, for example, and then you're in possession, you'll have to hand it back. Now, that being said, I don't want to diminish what concerns people have, because we are still in this grey area at the moment where we don't know for sure how anything is going to play out, but you can understand why people are concerned. So we'll see if that actually does live up to the level of concern over the next few weeks. The other thing, Kieran, which is going to be fascinating, is that anybody who's going to a match this weekend needs to keep an eye out for a formation that teams are going to play, because we now know that you're going to have to keep three outfield players inside the opposition half and inside your own half at all times. So for the forwards, what formation are you going to play? Are you going to play three forwards close to goal? Are you going to line three forwards along the 65-metre line? Are you going to line them along the middle of the park, close to, like away from the sidelines? Or how are you going to go about it? So for anybody who's actually going to be there in person at any of the games this weekend, that's one thing to keep an eye on.
I tell you what I'll be keeping an eye on, Owen. And I assume everybody from the Kingdom will be, as well as the Kerry man playing in the number 7 jersey for the Kilkenny hurling team.
Thanks for that, Kieran. What I don't understand is the people who are going around saying, well, great for Fionnuala Mackesy to go and play top level hurling. Kerry often get diminished as one of the, I don't know, as the New York or the London of hurling, which is just patently not true. They've very recently and very regularly been a top 10 team competing for Joe McDonagh honours. Kerry are a very good hurling team, is the only thing I'd say. And sure, they're not going to win Liam McCarthy in the career span of Fionnuala Mackesy, and he's obviously made his move to O'Loughlin Gaels, and he's been in Kilkenny for a little period of time anyway, Kieran. But I'm not subscribing to this idea that you need to leave Kerry to play a decent level of hurling. A slightly better level.
Yeah, slightly better. Kilkenny are down in Ennis to play Clare in the opening round of the league. And I'll tell you what, if they do manage to go all the way this year, won't it be some homecoming for Fionnuala Mackesy and brings Lee McCarthy back down to Kerry? Anyway, the Australian Open, so kind of much drama overnight. This is not a tournament that lends itself well to kind of viewing in Ireland because of the time difference. But Djokovic retired in his semi-final, and Djokovic is a guy who has been hugely dominant at the Australian Open, and there's lots of fans of Djokovic there. Not many in attendance, it seemed, as he was booed off the court, Owen.
Yeah, he retired earlier on because of a torn muscle in his upper left leg. He was up against Alexander Zverev in the semi-final, and it was strange that he was booed by some sections of the crowd walking off the court. Now, this has been a thing that's emerged over the past number of years. Novak Djokovic and Australia have a complicated relationship. We obviously remember his vaccination stance a number of years ago, and the fact that he was confined in a hotel room and then eventually deported from the country after not taking the vaccine. So there's always been that little bit of animosity between Djokovic and Australia. In his last round win against Carlos Alcaraz in the quarterfinal, he was cupping his hand to his ear consistently after every big point, kind of asking the crowd to give him more. And tonight, or earlier this morning, it kind of felt like the crowd got their own back on Djokovic. So they might be a little bit happy. I mean, Alexander Zverev is the man who progresses to the final. He's going to be up against Jannik Sinner in that final. It's the number one seed against the number two seed, so not a massive surprise to see that being the matchup. Jannik Sinner beat Ben Shelton of the United States on straight sets earlier on this morning as well.
Yeah, in the women's final, Madison Keys and Aryna Sabalenka. Very, very briefly, because we're kind of out of time, but the pick of the litter from the Premier League this weekend is what?
Manchester City versus Chelsea tomorrow at 5:30. City, obviously, with that defeat at the Parc des Princes earlier this week in the Champions League. They've got a huge game against Club Brugge in the Champions League next week, so maybe they'll rest one or two of their frontliners for that Chelsea game.
Owen, listen, real pleasure. Thank you very, very much for that. Owen Sheehan, Off the Ball with you, as always, this evening from 7 o'clock and right through the weekend here on News Talk as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.